gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. News breaking left and right, for God's sakes. Look out, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Holy moly! We will go to the president live in just about an hour, announcing his new Supreme Court pick, Solicitor General Elena Kagan, in the hizzy. Perhaps.
If chosen, she would be the first person in 40 years who is not a judge to sit on the Supreme Court.
Correct. Mm-hmm. A lot of firsts. A lot more estrogen on the court than normal.
Yeah. Wow. Three chicks
she
on the court.
She is a Yahoo. What?
What is that allowed?
I don't know. We'll find out all of that. News breaking left and right. The giant Roadrunner dome did not contain the oil spill because of a Slurpee of some sort.
Because of ice crystals. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A slushy, because of a slushy. So we will update you on the tragic oil spill in the Gulf. And they're saying that the New York City bomber here was the Pakistani Taliban was behind that. Mm-hmm. So we have a veritable potpourri of liberal media elite lined up today.
Yes, we do.
The Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard of Media Matters for America, and Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. All right. How about that there? And I don't really care about any of it. You know why, Chris?
Why?
I went to see Mamma Mia this weekend.
Oh, your favorite show.
I love me some ABBA. Oh, I love me some. You know, we've mentioned this before. Once you start with the ABBA, there is no way out. Like, especially if you get to the W's, if you hit Waterloo, you've gone too far. There's no way back. You will be humming ABBA tunes for the rest of your life. Love that show. I've seen it, many years ago, but I saw it again. You know, what's not great about platform shoes and glitter and singing? Exactly. Oh. All right. All right.
That is a show that is tailor-made for tourists.
Yes.
There's nothing deep about that show.
That's how you can tell I'm not a real New Yorker
yet.
He's like, yay! Dancing in the aisles. Yippee.
There is nothing deep about that show whatsoever.
How was your weekend? Is Rebecca Taylor, is Mrs. Taylor in the house?
She is here, but she is booking some guests as we speak. We just got Richard Wolf for tomorrow, so.
Look at us.
I know. She's actually working.
Hmm. Really?
You know, she does that from time to time.
I thought this thing sort of just ran itself. I had no idea. All right. We have yet another SAT test. I think this is going to have to be the last one. How much more is there to know about the Stephanie Miller Show?
There's
how
more?
How many more people can have that much free time on their hands?
There's more esoterica about this very newscast?
It's the SAT, the Step Aptitude Test, sent to us by Tommy from Columbus. The rocking Congress critter of Illinois is...
Jan Schakowsky.
Representative Jan Schakowsky, that's right. Mm-hmm. He varied this up. There's fill in the blanks. This is a fill in the blank. B-Box.
Rocks.
B-Box.
Hi.
Rocks.
Morning. I'm here.
Good morning, Mrs. Taylor.
Yeah, well, you guys are screwing around. I'm out there working.
Okay. B-Box. That's Barbara Boxer, the matron saint.
That's right. B-Box Rocks.
Stefan won MOOC do P90X for exercise. How did Steph's mom work out?
Oh.
First and answer, naked headstands.
She did those, yeah.
Naked yoga.
Naked headstands.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and these are some more fill-in-the-blanks review questions. Bradley. Schlesman.
Oh, that was easy.
Mm-hmm. She. Megan. Okay, these are just little. Okay, let's see. Steph has a what on her foot? Oh, hammer toe. That's easy. How was it caused? As a young girl, Steph had her foot stepped on by a mule on the towpath for the Erie Canal. No, that's not true. That part's not true.
You did live near the Erie Canal, though.
Yes.
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 But you weren't a mule.
Lockport. I'm from Lockport, the world of the home of the world-famous locks. Or they're not that famous because you have to say they're world famous. However, they're the locks on the Erie Barge
okay,
Canal.
Good.
Rebecca Taylor gives really good phone. The answer is phone.
Whew, phew. Phone.
How was your weekend, you and the Mr. Taylor?
Well, you know, I slept with him all weekend because that's what you do when you're married. And I didn't think of you once. I know that's a surprise.
Good. Do you guys have one of those new the fart blankets? Because that it's advertised. I've been because you know I've been having a rash of insomnia.
Yes.
So I've seen every late night infomercial that there is. Could I have my late night infomercial music, please? I think the fart blanket. It's become actually a viral hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's promoting a blanket made with activated carbon fabric to completely and quickly absorb the odor of flatulence. It's called the Better Marriage Blanket. The ad.
Does your marriage have this problem, Rebecca?
No, not yet, but I'm sure it will soon.
It's this year's Snuggie. The advertisement says it's a real solution to a very real problem. Maybe, well, your marriage, how long have you been married?
Not even a year yet.
Oh, see, that's you can hold it for that long.
You're still newlyweds.
Yeah.
You don't fart in front of each
not
other yet.
I'm farting yet.
Yeah.
No. You're all backed up. Your head's going to explode soon.
Why not stuff a few of these blankets into that hole in the Gulf, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Send that idea along from the Stephanie Miller inbox.
I will.
Won't you?
It's better than stuffing a whale in there, like the Rude
Pundit.
All
right. Enough already with the beaver stack. I know. People have sent me that they found the world's biggest beaver.
Yeah, I've seen this too.
Damn. No, you know how big it is, Rebecca?
How big?
The scientists had to spot it from space. It was picked up on a satellite image from space. That's a big beaver.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Speaking of stuffed, why don't you
stuff
that beaver down?
If you can stuff that dam, why can't you exactly? Why can't you put that in the oil
in
spill
the
hole?
Oil,
that is a, now, that's a big beaver that built that.
An oily hole? Would that be an oily taint?
Okay, you can stop now.
No?
All right. Have I mentioned that it's somewhat expensive here in Calcutta where I moved on a whim?
I've heard.
Ed Schultz told me to? I believe that I have. Every day, a New Yorker thinks of a new enterprising way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
A New York woman has filed a lawsuit because her 16-year popcorn habit left her with permanent lung damage, the New York Post reports.
Do what?
She devoured 2 to 3 bags of Act II light microwave popcorn a day between 1991 and 2007. Workers who packaged the popcorn developed popcorn lung. She claims she has popcorn lung.
That's a thing?
She was diagnosed last month. She was in an oxygen tank, is likely to require a lung transplant because she has popcorn lung.
Well, maybe stop.
I enjoy popcorn.
Stop eating popcorn.
Perhaps I could make it a class action lawsuit. Yes, I feel it coming on. All right. And how's about this woman a little bit more desperate? This out of, Columbus, Ohio. Authorities in Ohio said a woman tried to rob a bank with a note and then attempted to eat it when she saw a uniformed officer in line behind her. The off-duty officer wasn't aware of what was going on, but when the woman noticed him, she grabbed the note and fled. Outside, she was arrested. She tried to swallow the note. As she was nabbed, she then coughed it up onto the sidewalk like a hairball.
Huh. All right.
And that was the end of that. All right. So let's do some Elena Kagan fun facts, shall we, as await the president's big announcement. She is the Solicitor General, which is... What, Chris? What is... Oh, I understand. It's the lawyer for the government, essentially.
Basically, yeah.
Yes.
They solicit generally.
You just made that part up.
I did.
She will be nominated today. They're saying 10 a.m. Eastern.
The president is expected to make an announcement about something at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, yes, something that we don't know anything about.
Right. Officially, we don't know, but... Insiders say.
Okay, the president will nominate Elena Kagan at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning.
Let's say that.
We will carry that live. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. She was the first female dean of Harvard Law School. How about that? 50 years old, she would be the youngest justice on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Source close to the selection process said a central element in Obama's choice was Kagan's reputation for bringing people together, competing views, and earning their respect. She came to the fore as a candidate who would work closely with all three branches of government, a legal mind with both a sense of modesty and a sense of humor. Republicans are certain to grill her in her confirmation hearings over her experience, her thin record of legal writings, and her objections to the military's policy about gays. Oh, dear. Why do I have a feeling the gay will come up? Kagan, known for having won over liberal and conservative faculty at the difficult to unite Harvard Law School, where she served as a dean for nearly 6 years. Kagan, who is unmarried,
uh-huh.
was was born in New York City. Isn't this is what this blogger already got in trouble for circulating
rumors
about her personal life?
Okay. I'm just saying, she's unmarried.
Is this the one that's not gay but might be gay?
You're gonna get
you see what
so
you're doing?
In trouble.
You
Rebecca.
Are just being, you are just being. You're like the blogger. You're yeah. the reckless
you're,
blogger of the show.
You're throwing,
just throwing unsubstantiated.
Throwing gasoline on that.
No,
that
yeah,
fire.
She's not gay. Not gay. But
she holds a bachelor's degree.
But she's
from
50
Princeton.
And unmarried.
A master's degree, and looks like when I saw the tape last night, like she's played by Dan Aykroyd, but she's not. And
no.
A bachelor's degree from Princeton, a master's degree from Oxford, and a law degree from Harvard. So take that, Rebecca Taylor, you and your crazy, unsubstantiated,
hey,
blocky kind of rumors.
Hey, we all might be gay. Everyone's gay. How about that?
She would be the third who is justice among six Catholics. With Stephen's retirement, the court will have no Protestants, which is,
wow.
of course, the prevalent denomination in the United States.
That's kind
so
of unusual.
Perhaps they're right at Fox News about the plight of the downtrodden white Christian male in America these days.
Well, I won't be happy until we get an atheist. Someone who you know, uses
oh, that's
reason.
That's never going to happen, you godless communist.
Someone who uses reason on the court. How about that?
What? All right.
What?
That'll never fly. This is America.
Sheesh.
All right. That concludes our fun facts about that. Elena Kagan. All right. Well, I'm excited about three chicks, Rebecca. Three chicks on the Supreme Court.
So awesome.
Check it out. Hot. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Knew how to work it the day she was born. Now she's riding into battle with her high heels on.
She's the queen of the West Side, working into dawn, riding into battle with her high heels on.
On lockdown.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ray in Chicago on the oil spill. Hello, Ray.
Hey, Moose, how you doing?
Good.
My wife and I came up with the perfect solution how to clean up all the surface oil that's out there. You
how's
just
that?
Call Vince and get some ShamWows out there.
ShamWows.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
you know,
I think
my
so.
My wife also suggests, you know, since it's a hole that has a flow problem, you just call Kotex. They'll take care of the.
Oh, isn't your wife a little... scallywag. All right.
But wouldn't a giant tampon soak up all the seawater before it even gets to the hole?
I think so.
Hmm.
All right. But I think, you know what? I think actually the one person that could have solved this gone. Billy Mays. Something.
Yes. Oh, we still have Vince from ShamWow, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is absorbent. All right. Here's another fun fact. Julie from Seattle sends along about Elena Kagan. She got her degree from Harvard in 1986 and clerked for U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Abner Mikv. Hang on a second.
Huh?
All right. Oh, and Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. Marshall, a towering figure, gave the 5'3" Kagan a nickname, Shorty. Her nickname, Shorty. Okay.
She's also round.
You know, could we please try to elevate the conversation about the Supreme
Court justice?
You
just called her Shorty.
What? Someone is sending me it's a Thurgood Marshall nickname.
Okay. I mean.
All right. Senator Orrin Hatch beginning the bitching already about the Supreme Court nomination.
Last summer, President Obama talked about, talked often, really, about how judges should be guided by their empathy. This year, the buzz phrase seems to be core constitutional values. This question of what the Constitution is and how much power judges should have as power should be at the heart of the debate over the next Supreme Court nominee.
She's a chick, so right away there's going to be the empathy issue again, right?
Yeah, but isn't this also Liz Cheney's pick? Didn't she?
Yeah, that's the thing. That was one thing that was a little startling. We were like,
yeah.
Miss Cheney likes her. There must be something wrong.
All right. Well,
Yeah, if
there's something wrong, hopefully it will come out during the hearings.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is you don't, you know, until you really get into this, you don't know. Right. You have to see, like, who lines up where before you know exactly. All right. Because, you know, I think, as I've said, to me, this is not a time to be, like, reaching out, bipartisan, blah, blah, blah. This is a liberal seat on a Supreme Court that is already skewed far too far to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Citizens United and whatever, I all right. By the by, oh, here's some other breaking news that, dear, dear, dear. So we'll see what our friends on the religious right have to say about the nomination. You know, the, George Wreckers?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wreckers. Barely even know her.
Mm-hmm. He's the, you know, the anti-gay co-founder of the Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
Who hired the rent boy to carry his, you know.
His whatever. Bags.
Bags. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, and he has denied this and threatened to sue and, you know, blah.
Whatever.
Unfortunately, there is a second.
A second rent boy?
Gay escort, yes.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
According to Gawker.com, a second man, a former male prostitute, came forward with details of a sexual encounter with rent boy hiring Christian anti-gay leader George Wreckers. He is a former stripper, escort, and adult actor named Carl Shepard. He said some things took place at
a long stroke?
Hyatt Regency at Chicago's O'Hare Airport in 1992.
Did a long stroke take place?
Apparently, yes. Yes, that's what he's saying.
Oh,
Shepard claims during the summer of 92, he was living in Chicago where he placed an advertisement in Gay Chicago Magazine's Models and Escort section offering his services and boasting of his porn experience. The ad listed a pager number for prospective clients. One evening, the pager went off and it was George Wrecker. And the he said, among other things on the phone, I'm looking for to spend an hour with a smooth young man for an intimate massage, nude. I'm kind of vanilla. I just want light touching, not sex. Oh, well, that's what makes you not gay. Oh, all right. He knew the lingo. He seemed like he'd done this before. He's vanilla. He's not the gay kind of gay. He's not the, you know.
Right.
Yes, just the kind where you want a nude massage from a porn guy.
Sure.
Okay. Where's that? You know what? You get the porn music ready, and I'll do the details of what allegedly happened at the alleged, you know, Chicago O'Hare alleged. Well, that part's not alleged.
No,
apparently there is a high regency at the
photographs of that.
All right. Give you the details and much more as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour.
And the Rude Pundit up next, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller.
What do you think, boys? I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Chris in Yankton writes, Chris and Steph, yes, your listener's suggestion of using a giant tampon to stop the oil pebble in the Gulf was flawed. Indeed, it would soak up the water before reaching the spill. However, it's good to hear him thinking outside the box. You know,
that's not appropriate
thing here on the Stephanie Miller newscast, but thank you. All right, can you hit the porn music? Let me just finish up the details of the alleged second gay escort that allegedly anti-gay Christian Focus on the Founder. Focus on the Family Founder, is that his title? George Wreckers.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Noted junk scientist, George Wreckers, who's done a lot of that anti-gay research and apparently very, very went deep, deep, deep cover. Okay, so the masseuse, he just wanted a masseuse massage naked, but nothing gay.
No.
Not sex. He's
no.
Just light touching. So apparently the lighter the touch, the less gay you are, is how it works.
Oh, is that how it works?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
The second gay male escort, Carl Shepard, says, I ran my fingers down his spine. He was squirming and pushing his ass up in the air because he wanted me to touch him there. Eventually, I touched him over every inch of his body with the same light touch. He got very aroused for an old guy. I was very impressed. Actually, looking back, I think he thought it wasn't gay because he hadn't crossed the line because he didn't want me to just run my fingers over him there. It was more of a, you know, just a tantric-y thing almost. It was more of a, apparently a straight kind of sting sort of thing.
That sounds pretty gay to me.
We lay on the bed afterwards, both still naked. Like you do with guy friends who have just touched you lightly, but not in a gay way.
No.
There was still some time left, so I asked him, did you call me up just because I've been in porn movies? He didn't answer for a little while. I didn't know. What type of thing? Just making conversation. Just curious. I told him about the sex I engaged in. He seemed really disgusted. See, now that's too gay.
Yeah, it is gay.
He just went, now his face curled up. See, now he's disgusted. It's because now it's like, oh, that's really gay. He handed me $150 and I left, but I felt a bit guilty it ended like that. I remember thinking I'd really grossed him out, that I'd corrupted this confused man. That's the second guy, according to Gawker.com. Okay. So, at least we understand now what, see that, and I love that he was there naked with the male porn star masseuse being disgusted
at
how gay that guy was. Okay. All right. That's what's not great about that story. That is rude, by the way.
Leap off of the rude pundit. Pundit.
It's time to come to Papa. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
That was illustrative, wasn't it?
Yeah. I I'm vaguely turned on, but in a totally straight way.
All right. Among other things that you blog about at the Rude Pundit blogspot.com is our guns are way more important than your disasters. You write down in Louisiana, where you're from, the slick diarrhea of oil cut its way towards the Outer Islands and began its long wreckage of the seafood industry there. The state house debated and voted on a number of gun measures. The vote 96-1 to allow people with concealed carry permits to do so within 1,000 feet of a school.
Yep.
That seems much more important than the oil spill.
Sure, sure. You know, if you're going to have a major economic catastrophe about to hit your shores, you definitely want to make sure you can walk around the sidewalks outside of school with your gun.
Yes. The latest Wile E. Coyote plot did not work, the giant dome, because a slushy of some sort formed.
Yeah, who would have thought that it was really cold a mile under the sea? And that they didn't plan for that.
You know, we're all just junk scientists like George Reckers, but we're like, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it would have been really cool if it had. It would have been like the greatest crazy straw ever.
Yeah.
Just working its way up through
the ocean.
It
looked cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen their latest plan, what they're going to try next?
No.
They're going to try and shove, like, garbage into the hole, like tires and golf balls and just, like, stuff
no
like that.
No way.
They seriously are.
You're making that up.
No.
I swear to God, they're listening to our show now. Has anyone thought of stuffing a whale down there?
I actually think, and I don't know if I've got the exact name right, I think it's called junk packing. Did I just break Chris?
Perhaps they should send noted junk scientist George Reckers out there to supervise.
Yeah.
I think it's serious. I think it's junk packing the blowout hole or something like that.
Oh boy. Okay. But it is amazing, isn't it? It just goes to show you how much of their zillions of dollars of profits that you're right. They haven't spent any money clearly on technology on what the frig to do.
No.
When this happens.
No. It's not like they had all of these booms ready to go. That there wasn't all of this equipment already there, already just in case. You think what the cost would have been to do that versus their profit?
That's exactly right. You know, Greg Palast writes about that this week, that they absolutely could have done something. It's just that it takes like a fire department practically on call 24/7. That's the main thing. It needs to be caught right away, and that takes money. I mean, not nearly the kind of money that the profits they make, but yeah, it would have taken them spending money to have somebody really like on the call to take care of it.
Yeah, but you know, I bet that even the cleanup is just going to be a drop in the bucket for them. You know, I would say they figured this out long range. What was the most cost effective way for them to approach a disaster?
Yep, you write this week, because of the criminal favoring damages cap on lawsuits, BP mailing down the hook for $75 million in economic losses for the entire Gulf region. That's like the budget for CEO Tony Hayward's waxing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, an entire fishing industry, tourism, and marshes will be disturbed. At least Hayward won't have to live with a hairy scrotum, which is, I think it's a good, you know, I'm just saying it's a good analogy in terms of cost.
Yes, thank you. This was a law that was passed in reaction to the damages caused by the Exxon Valdez, and it was a let's cover the corporation's asses clause or bill. And, of course, you know, we want to limit lawsuits we would want to limit damages. We don't want to hurt the bottom line.
Yep. So you also blog about the National Day of Prayer. Do it or Satan will eat your head. According to the website of the National Day of Prayer, one part of the answer to the question why pray is that much sin is a result of the sin of prayerlessness. Chris, you are already, I think you're already in hell.
Well,
working with me,
yeah,
close
well,
enough.
Yeah,
but,
that would qualify.
That's just the snake eating its tail, isn't it, right there? You can't. If you don't pray, it's a sin, but you can be a sinner who prays, and then you're double sinning because not praying, which is a sin, causes you to sin more. You know what? I'm just bottomed out right now. Why bother?
Speaking of prayer, Chris, could you take your organ out? You do talk about the George Wreckers, who we've just spoke of. I love how you're like some crazy comedy of errors. It was just misunderstanding after misunderstanding. This is with the original Rent Boy, of course.
It's like a Three's Company episode.
Yes. You don't switch to comedy music.
Okay.
Lest you think there was any hanky-panky in the spanky or slobbity-bobbity, Wreckers has assured everyone that once he found out his helpmate was a homosexual, he played the good Christian and ministered to Gio, whose specialties include vanilla, leather, anal, oral, shaving, spanking, role-playing, kissing, toys, feet. As Wreckers told the blog Joe My God, I spent a great deal of time sharing scientific information on the desirability of abandoning homosexual intercourse, and I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him in great detail, which is a plot of a wacky sitcom.
He would have been better to go with Rent Boy. I thought it was Manpower. I was just looking for somebody to help me with my baggage.
Yeah. Once again, the explanation always much more entertaining than the original scandal, isn't it?
Although it's kind of sad to think that he spent all this money to just get sort of lightly, delicately touched.
Yes.
Like I'm ready to stick a toe out of the closet, but no, I'm going to pull it back in.
I must say that's an entirely new, scale, though, isn't it? Depends on the lightness of the touch, how gay you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, you mean how much it would cost? Like how much pressure is applied to certain areas, and, you know, do you want
like if you got sports massage, that'd be totally gay.
But apparently a light massage is only $150.
Oh, it's like the Swedish versus the shiatsu or whatever massage.
Yes.
Yeah. That's deep. Issue.
Rude. We're moments away from the president's announcement of Elena Kagan. What are we in for against the right on this, do you think?
Well, I don't know. First of all, nominating a Jew from Harvard is a real surprise. And also, it's going to be all about the gays. This is going to be a big debate about the gays. Already, the Family Research Council has released something that talks about how the policy that she supported in banning recruiters from Harvard, and about how she is a supporter of hate crime legislation. So it's going to be all about the gays.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really a shame that that everybody just thought, oh, look at her, she must be gay.
Well, I mean, because she agrees with the vast majority of the American people that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned, that makes her a crazy leftist.
Yeah, I think she's filibuster worthy. And won't that be great if they filibuster her, considering, you know, that they were ready to shut down the Senate over the possibility of filibustering even lower court judges?
Yeah. I know. Rude, what about the other obviously big breaking story this morning? The White House says the Pakistan Taliban behind the New York City bomb plot.
Yeah, I feel like I need to eat a little crow here this morning, because last week I was one of those wacky liberals saying, oh, it must be some crazy redneck getting stuff from his shed to go and blow up Times Square. And no, so I need to apologize, and I want to apologize especially to, you know, the people that accuse Obama of being a socialist, a Muslim, a terrorist ally, Hitler, and not American. And those are people who I feel like I've offended.
And you're, God bless you for being such a big man.
Yeah, well, you know, yes. You know, you're only as good as your credibility.
All right. The Rude Pundit, his rudeness. We will see you next week, honey. RudePundit.blogspot.com. There he goes.
Bye.
His rudeness. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Yes, back with all of the latest, including Eric Holder's comments on the New York City bomb plot as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. We will go live to the president announcing his Supreme Court pick shortly when that happens. We also have Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host A Rocking Right-Wing World. And also Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation.
That's right.
What a liberal media elite explosion this morning. all right, let's go to Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal, adios, mio, mi amigo.
Mamacita, y el Muki Chris, muy
yes.
Buenos nachos.
Yes.
Buenos nachos.
I wanted to carry the conversation that you were just having with the Rude Pundit concerning the oil drilling and the entire disaster. I wanted to reach to you something quickly from yesterday's Times Online. This is the London Times Online. It's concerning the $270 million profit that Transocean, the offshore driller made, and let me just read this very quickly. It's the only way I'm going to be able to do this. The owner of the oil rig that exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, killing 11 people and causing a giant slick, has made $200 million in profit from insurance payouts for the disaster. The revelation by Transocean, the world's biggest offshore driller, will add to the political storm over the disaster. The company was hired by BP to drill the well. The accounting gain arose because the $560 million insurance policy Transocean took out on its Deepwater Horizon rig was greater than the value of the rig itself. Transocean has already received a cash payment of $401 million, with the rest due in the next few weeks.
Wow.
This sounds like capitalism, a love story. Remember how Walmart got insurance payments, and when people died, they collected the insurance? It's the same damn thing. Profits, baby. Profits.
Yep. Oy vey. Wow. Gee, you think they could have spent a little that kind of money on, I don't know, Chris, some sort of technology for what happens after one of these things blow and how you clean it up?
It really sucks that they have no plan in place at all for anything that might happen.
Yeah, I mean, literally, since they've just been like guessing. How about, let's try this.
That is why regulation is a good thing.
No, they were just testifying to Congress. They didn't need no stinking
regulation. This proves that we do need regulation.
Stephanie Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Hey. You know, first, quick, BP, I wouldn't trust them to clean my cat's litter box. These guys can't do anything right. They're always in the bottom of something. And, you know, they should have plans. I mean, it's dopey that there's no plan for a disaster because they need to prepare.
That's not entirely fair. They had a bad plan. They had one that wasn't thoroughly researched.
Well, a completely crappy one that now that they want to just, you know, shoot junk into
garbage,
hole.
Old tires.
Yeah, and golf balls, you know, just dumb. But the other thing I want to say is, and I don't even know how to put this other than these men that are so afraid of the gays and are so down on the gays, they end up doing these things that are even more gay than what gays do.
They're gayer than regular self-respecting gays, for God's sakes.
Exactly. So,
yes.
I mean, it's nuts.
Yes. Normal gays are repulsed by this. Exactly. All right. So, Eric Holder, Attorney General, was talking about Elena Kagan on Friday.
I think people will get an understanding of who she is, what her judicial philosophy is, if in fact she is the pick. She's done a wonderful job in the Justice Department.
Well, that was a little foreshadowing there, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but that was yesterday on Meet the Press. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think the rumor was already getting out there by yesterday. So, and it should be just a few minutes the president makes the announcement.
CNN has pulled Wolf Blitzer on the air, so yeah, it's a little early for him. So you know it's going to be big.
There's something big happening. Okay. Speaking of something big happening, saying they have obtained new evidence, senior White House officials said yesterday that Pakistani Taliban were behind the failed Times Square bombing. Don't you love this, Chris, how the right just likes to play gotcha with everything?
Yeah.
This is what an investigation is. You don't say something till you know for sure. You know, it's like the problem is, you know, you have to keep investigating. And first of all, I guess if they were behind it, he went to the really crappy Pakistani Taliban school. The finding raises new questions about the U.S. relationship with Pakistan, which is widely known to have al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups operating within its borders. Eric Holder yesterday said, we know they helped facilitate it. We know they helped direct it. I suspect we're going to come up with new, evidence which show they helped finance it. They were intimately involved in this plot. So, again, you know, as evidence is coming out, that we're finding out.
That's right.
Ray Kelly, the New York City Police Commissioner, yesterday. Ray Kelly, New York City Police Commissioner.
We were lucky, and I think it was good police work. It was a combination of the both. I can't necessarily give you a percentage if that's what you're looking for.
You know, isn't that to some degree always the case, Chris? I mean, I don't remember any of this rhetoric with the shoe bomber, do you?
No.
When Bush was president, it's like, well, he got on the plane. If it hadn't been for the passengers, he would have lit the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's right.
I don't understand how it's different. And the other thing, by the way, people always leave out with George Bush. It wasn't just the 9/11 happened on his watch and the shoe bomber. There are the anthrax attacks that still haven't been solved in the attack on the LL counter in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yep.
Okay. By the way, so the Muslim man who helped foil the Times Square bombing, he was one of the key people who alerted police to the failed Times Square bomber. He is a Senegalese Muslim. He works as a street vendor. He said that Islam is not terrorist, and if he sees any Muslim who tries to commit terrorism, he's going to catch him before he runs away. He also lamented the case of one bad Muslim being used to paint all Muslims with a broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him. And by the way, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, since I can see it from here where the bomb plot was, from where Mama's broadcasting.
Extremists of any religion.
Yes, Franklin Graham.
Absolutely.
Religion itself isn't evil. It's the way you pervert it or use it, whether mm-hmm. you're a Christian or a Muslim or whatever.
Or a Jahu.
Yes. All right. Speaking of which, the first...
Nice segue there.
Thank you.
Wow.
The president's about to try to nominate a Jahu to the Supreme Court. The president's announcement coming up shortly. We will go to that live. Obviously rumored to be announcing Solicitor General Elena Kagan as the new Supreme Court nominee. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with that and Eric Moeller from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. We join the president live in progress.
Elena is widely regarded as one of the nation's foremost legal minds. She's an acclaimed legal scholar with a rich understanding of constitutional law. She's a former White House aide with a lifelong commitment to public service and a firm grasp of the nexus and boundaries between our three branches of government. She's a trailblazing leader the first woman to serve as dean of Harvard Law School, and one of the most successful and beloved deans in its history. And she is a superb Solicitor General, our nation's chief lawyer, representing the American people's interests before the Supreme Court. The first woman in that position as well. And she has won accolades from observers across the ideological spectrum for her well-reasoned arguments and commanding presence. But Elena is respected and admired not just for her intellect and record of achievement, but also for her temperament, her openness to a broad array of viewpoints, her habit, to borrow a phrase from Justice Stevens, of understanding before disagreeing, her fair-mindedness and skill as a consensus builder. These traits were particularly evident during her tenure as dean, at a time when many believed that Harvard faculty had gotten a little one-sided in its viewpoint. She sought to recruit prominent conservative scholars and spur a healthy debate on campus. And she encouraged students from all backgrounds to respectfully exchange ideas and seek common ground. Because she believes, as I do, that exposure to a broad array of perspectives is the foundation not just for a sound legal education, but of a successful life in the law. And this appreciation for diverse views may also come in handy as a diehard Mets fan, serving alongside her new colleague, to-be Yankees fan Justice Sotomayor, who I believe has ordered a pinstripe robe for the occasion.
Girl fight.
But while Elena had a brilliant career in academia, her passion for the law is anything but academic. She's often referred to Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, for whom she clerked, as her hero. I understand that he reciprocated by calling her Shorty. Nonetheless, she credits him with reminding her that, as she put it, behind law there are stories. Stories of people's lives as shaped by the law, stories of people's lives as might be changed by the law. That understanding of law, not as an intellectual exercise or words on a page, but as it affects the lives of ordinary people, has animated every step of Elena's career, including her service as Solicitor General today. During her time in this office, she's repeatedly defended the rights of shareholders and ordinary citizens against unscrupulous corporations. Last year, in the Citizens United case, she defended bipartisan campaign finance reform against special interests seeking to spend unlimited money to influence our elections. Despite long odds of success, with most legal analysts believing the government was unlikely to prevail in this case, Elena still chose it as her very first case to argue before the court. I think that says a great deal, not just about Elena's tenacity, but about her commitment to serving the American people. I think it says a great deal about her commitment to protect our fundamental rights, because in a democracy, powerful interests must not be allowed to drown out the voices of ordinary citizens. And I think it says a great deal about the path that Elena has chosen. Someone as gifted as Elena could easily have settled into a comfortable life in a corporate law practice. Instead, she chose a life of service. Service to her students, service to her country, service to the law, and to all those whose lives it shapes. And given Elena's upbringing, it's a choice that probably came naturally. Elena's the granddaughter of immigrants whose mother was for 20 years a beloved public school teacher, as are her two brothers who are here today. Her father was a housing lawyer devoted to the rights of tenants. Both were the first in their families to attend college. And from an early age, they instilled in Elena not just the value of a good education, but the importance of using it to serve others. As she recalled during her Solicitor General confirmation hearings, both my parents wanted me to succeed in my chosen profession. But more than that, both drilled into me the importance of service, character, and integrity. Elena has also spoken movingly about how her mother had grown up at a time when women had few opportunities to pursue their ambitions and took great joy in watching her daughter do so. Neither she nor Elena's father lived to see this day, but I think her mother would relish this moment. I think she would relish, as I do, the prospect of three women taking their seat on the nation's highest court for the first time in history.
Chicks rule. Chicks rule.
That's a bad word.
report
Eric
that
Bullard from Media
would be
Matters
more inclusive,
coming up,
more representative,
right,
more reflective of us as people than ever before. And I think they would be tremendously proud of their daughter, a great lawyer, a great teacher, and a devoted public servant who I am confident will make an outstanding Supreme Court justice. So I hope that the Senate will act in a bipartisan fashion, as they did in confirming Elena to be our Solicitor General last year, and that they will do so as swiftly as possible so she can get busy and take her seat in time to fully participate in the work of the court this fall. With that, I would like to invite the person who I believe will be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States, Elena Kagan, to say a few words.
Now, is Shane from the live blog,
what?
In terms of whether it's a trick thing, she looks like Frank Luntz.
No, Shane. Shane on the live blog said that.
I don't think she's Frank Luntz.
No? No Frank Luntz?
It could be that big a trick.
Bit of an eerie resemblance, though. What?
I can't control the people on the live blog.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I am honored and I am humbled by this nomination and by the confidence you have shown in me. During the last year, as I have served as Solicitor General, my longstanding appreciation for the Supreme Court's role in our constitutional democracy has become ever deeper and richer. The court is an extraordinary institution, in the work it does and in the work it can do for the American people by advancing the tenets of our Constitution, by upholding the rule of law, and by enabling all Americans, regardless of their background or their beliefs, to get a fair hearing and an equal chance at justice. And within that extraordinary institution, Justice Stevens has played a particularly distinguished and exemplary role. It is therefore a special honor to be nominated to fill his seat. I have felt blessed to represent the United States before the Supreme Court, to walk into the highest court in this country when it is deciding its most important cases, cases that have an impact on so many people's lives, and to represent the United States there is the most thrilling and the most humbling task a lawyer can perform. I've been fortunate to have been supported in all the work I've done as Solicitor General by a remarkable group of lawyers and staff, many of whom are here today. They exemplify professionalism, public service, and integrity, and I am grateful for all that they have taught me. My professional life has been marked by great good fortune. I clerked for a judge, Abner Mikva, who represents the best in public service, and for a justice, Thurgood Marshall, who did more to promote justice over the course of his legal career than did any lawyer in his lifetime. I have had the opportunity to serve under two remarkable presidents who have devoted themselves to lifting the lives of others and who have inspired a great many more to do the same. I had the privilege of leading one of the world's great law schools and of working there to bring people together and to help ensure that they and the school were making the largest possible contribution to the public good, both in this country and around the world. I am proud of what all of us accomplished there. And through most of my professional life, I've had the simple joy of teaching, of trying to communicate to students why I so love the law, not just because it's challenging and endlessly interesting, although it certainly is that, but because law matters, because it keeps us safe, because it protects our most fundamental rights and freedoms, and because it is the foundation of our democracy. I am thankful to my brothers and other family and friends for coming to Washington to be with me here today and much more. I am thankful for all of their support and loyalty and love, not just on this day, but always. If this day has just a touch of sadness in it for me, it is because my parents aren't here to share it. They were both, as the president said, the children of immigrants and the first in their families to go to college. My father was the kind of lawyer who used his skills and training to represent everyday people and to improve a community. My mother was a proud public school teacher, as are my two brothers, the kind of teachers whom students remember for the rest of their lives.
All right, we will break from Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. We will get Eric Bollert's instant reaction from Media Matters for America on what we're going to be up against with the right against the Supreme Court nominee and right-wing world. 18 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America on the Elena Kagan nomination and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 23 minutes after the hour, joined by Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America. Eric, sorry to keep you waiting so long with the big Supreme Court nomination and all. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
So what do you think we're going to be up against? What's your first take on the Elena Kagan nomination?
Oh, well, I mean, the right wing has already telegraphed what they're going to do. And I mean, the whole thing has sort of become this kabuki dance. I mean, we saw it with Justice Sotomayor, and we're going to see it now with Kagan. I mean, this whole right-wing movement, this whole Fox movement, is fueled by a daily, hourly need to push hate and to push this sort of really incendiary rhetoric. So, of course, they're not going to look at someone like Elena Kagan and sort of dispassionately decide, well, okay, I guess she, you know, obviously she is qualified and, you know, traditional standards and et cetera, et cetera. They're not going to use that standard. This is all just about throwing as much as sort of invective out there as possible. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna start. It's got nothing to do with her background, really, or her resume or what kind of justice she would be. It's this fuel that they have to pump into this machine that they built. If it wasn't Kagan this week, it was, you know, oil spill the week before, or whatever.
Yep.
It is, it's got to be some sort of hate message around the clock, and this will function, this will fit their needs nicely for a few months.
Well, you know, Eric, and you write a great piece this week, you know, that I think is really dismaying to many of us on the left, that a lot of times it's not Fox that starts this. You write a great piece about how this, the oil spill is Obama's Katrina, you know, started from the mainstream media trying not to appear too liberal, and then, you know, the right wing was happy to pick that up, right?
Yeah, that was a classic example of the Beltway press just sort of teeing something up. I mean, George Stephanopoulos on ABC was asking about, you know, quote-unquote Obama's Katrina before Rush Limbaugh ever mentioned those words. He
right.
got it from ABC. He got it from the AP. You know, last week, a week ago when that whole thing was hatched, nobody could point to any emergency or disaster relief experts who thought there was in any way any kind of comparison to the government relief effort to the oil spill in Katrina.
Yeah, other than, don't laugh, Michael Brown. Okay, go ahead and laugh.
Right.
The press just liked the way it sounded and just concocted it and sort of handed it up on the silver platter, and then, of course, Limbaugh went with it. But your point is a good one. The right wing is going to say all this crazy, hateful stuff. They're going to claim, you know, Kagan's a socialist. They're going to go back and read her, you know, her college undergraduate thesis from, you know, 20 years ago. But the question is, what's the mainstream press going to do? Because with Judge Sotomayor, they got completely roped into that right-wing nonsense about her being a racist, about that, you remember that infamous wise Latino woman quote. The press absolutely fell down on the job and just regurgitated that right-wing stuff.
Mm.
Hopefully
they
won't do it again this time.
Yep, and that's why you're here, and that's why we're in the right-wing world. Why, looky here, it's Charles Krauthammer. hammer on the Brit Baer show. Oh, this is before she was nominated.
That's right.
The one advantage Kagan has is her youth. She's 50. She could be on for three decades. Long after America goes bankrupt, and she'll still be on the court. I mean, that's a huge advantage.
Wow. That wasn't even about her.
Yeah.
No, but it is one of the reasons, you know, I think they're going to freak out no matter who Obama nominates. But the fact that she's a woman, the fact that she is probably going to be there for a long time, really just adds to this sort of, you know, irritation and real sort of irrational anger. So, yeah, I mean, it's true. She is likely going to have a pretty big imprint. All the more reason that's sort of driving the right wing crazy, I think.
Here now is Liz Claman on Fox News saying something that's completely untrue, but that the Republicans, she's just repeating the Republican lie on financial reform.
New worries today that the new banking crackdown will turn into a consumer shakedown. Republicans warning the Consumer Protection Agency and the financial reform bill may give the government power to snoop through your personal finances. Who's going to protect us from the protectors now?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
That's so silly, Eric, and I thought it was to rein in Wall Street.
Well, but isn't that the perfect model? I mean, it shouldn't all Fox News headlines just be like that? You know, according to Republicans, this is what they say. We're going to repeat it. We're going to scare you.
Not even as if it has some, yes, legitimate news value. Right.
Not even an attempt to, you know, to deliver straight news or to get both sides. It would be refreshing if all Fox News reports were that transparent. This is what Republicans are saying. We're going to repeat it, and even No,
as if it might be true, even yes, even though it's not. All right, Charles Payne on Cavuto's show on the BP.
Listen, the media has gone crazy. They have an attack on capitalism. Everything is negative. And by the way, a lot of this emanates from the White House. The White House is going to put a boot on the neck of BP. But they never use that kind of vitriol when it comes to Islam or even terrorism.
Oh, I see. I see. They caught the Times Square guy, but because they didn't put the boot on his neck.
Because they didn't call Islam names.
I see. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and the BP stuff, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the whole oil spill situation, you know, the right-wing, Tea Party, anti-government folks are apparently furious the federal government did not step in and basically take control of this private oil company.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Glenn Beck, if 3 days after the spill, you know, Obama signed some sort of executive order and became CEO of BP because he didn't like the way the cleanup was going?
Exactly. All right. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes. Back with a skosh more right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. What is
Stephanie Miller
look like? You know, not half bad. Nothing you'd look twice at, but not bad.
34.
I'll take it.
Whatever. 34. Yeah. What did someone tell me last week? I have nice posture.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the best you can hope for at my age.
Sure. Until osteoporosis sets in.
Well, the other guy said, you're so fit and newsy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's what every girl dreams of hearing someday. All right, kids, do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. It's the kind of thing, if you wait, you're going to be sorry. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. All right, Eric Bowler was kind enough to wait through the Elena Kagan nomination, so he had to go, but we have more right-wing world, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't end just because Eric Bollard has a life, for God's sakes. all right. Hey, you know, this is the thing that I love Media Matters it does best. You know, right-wing radio or Fox News, that's a no-brainer that they're going to lie and skew things and say, you know, but this is the problem, and we've said this over and over again. The mainstream media is so afraid to be called the liberal media. To me, they sometimes do the right wing's work for them,
absolutely,
don't they?
Absolutely.
And that's what he was saying, that came from the mainstream media. The oil spill, Obama's Katrina? Well,
computer says no,
not in any way, shape, or form.
Can you imagine? What a gift. They wake up at Fox News, they were playing What the Fox. What the...
Huh?
Fox? Oh, this is perfect. Even we couldn't write this. Even we thought that was the crappiest analogy ever. First of all, Katrina is something they had ample warning of, both that the levees needed reinforcing, which they denied them the money. They knew the storm was coming. Mm-hmm. The response at the federal level was completely disastrous. How in any way does this compare to the oil spill?
In no way.
Which was BP's fault, and the federal government was there immediately doing whatever they could to help. BP is the one before Congress saying, we don't need any regulation. No, 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 no. We're good. We're policing ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I mean, like you said, Chris, it does go to show you that we need more regulation.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the mining industry or oil drilling, but at any rate, how you would even vaguely compare it anyway. Here's Hannity on that.
All right, tonight, for one night only, we are asking you to forget everything you already know about President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Now, tonight, well, you don't need to know about the president's affinity for spreading the wealth around or his friendships with people who use the phrase GD America. You can forget all of that. Mm-hmm. Because on this night,
except
we are asking you to approach this president with a veil of ignorance and judge him only by his actions of the past week. Now, we begin with the administration's response to the disaster in the Gulf. It's been called Obama's Katrina, and new evidence indicates that may be an understatement.
Ah, really? And did he go on to say what that that new evidence may be?
No, it was
if
just
this is Obama's Katrina
stuff. Opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Rush Limbaugh at down the Arizona law.
What's at stake here in Arizona? What's at stake here is not just this potential for 15 to 30 million illegals to be able to vote someday for Democrats. What's at stake here is the notion that you must have a photo ID to prove who you are. The only place you don't have to do that is at the ballot box. And if it ever eventuates that you have to do that at the ballot box, then the Democrats' primary electoral victory mechanism, fraud, out the window.
You see, when Democrats win, Chris, clearly, it's fraud.
It's only through fraud, yes.
President Obama's landslide, clearly fraud. Only when a Republican, you know, like George Bush or, you know, in Florida in 2000 or George Bush in Ohio, only when the votes are all counted, as we all know, and counted correctly, does a Republican win. You see how that works. But it's clearly fraud. Okay, because apparently that's the only people who are voting for him that are illegal.
Yeah.
Because he's not even from here either. So
he's Kenyan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio on labor.
The labor unions over in Europe are coordinating with communist Marxist radicals.
What?
It's interesting because if they point that out, they might have to point out how the labor unions in America are coordinating with Marxist radicals, groups that want to overthrow the United States government.
You know, I have a big union speech coming up in D.C. next month. I'm going to have to ask them about that.
If they side with Marxist radicals that want to overthrow the U.S. government?
Yes, my goodness. I will go deep, deep, deep undercover, Chris, and get some information on that. Or maybe, alternatively, Glenn Beck's a little crazy.
I think
I'm just positing that as just another explanation.
Once his numbers started dipping and he started losing advertisers, that's when he started to really, really go crazy.
That's when he started to really bring the crazy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was his answer. You know, I'm not being crazy enough. The problem when you pick that route, Chris, you've got how do you out crazy? He probably sits there sweating every day, going, how am I going to possibly out crazy myself today?
Maybe he could learn a thing or two from Lindsay Lohan.
All right. That concludes a not a moment too soon, in my personal opinion. Robert in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Good morning. Listen, my 2 cents. I'll make this really quick, okay? You've got job creations, one of the successes that this administration is not getting any credit for. You've got the economy getting better. Why not blow up something underneath the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, this BP explosion has Halliburton's fingerprints, and you know Mr. Potter used to run Halliburton. My 2 cents.
All right. Thank you. He's just a warped, frustrated old man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so as we mentioned, do we have the Roadrunner music? We should get that whenever we talk about BP's latest efforts to... you know what essentially this looked like, Chris? This looked like the portable hole, whatever it was they were moving. It looked cool, the dome, the thing, the box.
Well, it looked like a boxcar, didn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that did not work. And who could have seen that coming except everybody? It turned into a Slurpee, I guess. I'm not a bit, lot of big on science, but icy slush. If you're on a highway and road when it goes thank you. Mm-hmm. Foil plans to use a giant box to contain. It used to be what fooled the Roadrunner, and we're trying to fool the Roadrunner that there was a different, you know, place to get through the mountain.
Right.
Whatever. To contain the uncontrolled oil gusher in the Gulf, leaving BP pondering an alternate solution at sea while on land, helicopters were expected to drop sandbags in Louisiana to guard against thick blobs of crude that washing up on the beaches. So it was 100 tons. That's a big box. You know what I'm saying?
That's a huge box.
It was a 100-ton, four-story concrete and steel box. The giant box, do you know what it's known as? It's known as a cofferdam. Who knew? A cofferdam. It was lowered onto the leaking wellhead. Did you enjoy? I don't know who I saw. I think I saw CNN's. It's like it actually is funny. It is like Roadrunner because it was like a cartoon representation of it. Did you see that? Because they can't show the actual thing, so they'd like you see
down.
The actual thing, and then they would cut to like an animated thing. It looked like the Little Mermaid or something, you know. It looked like a Disney special then.
Expect them.
This
break
is
out
what
into...
it did, and then they did the cartoon animation of how it went down over the thing, and this is how it went, like
and
this.
And the Little Mermaid and the crab started singing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then an octopus went by ugly, ugly. Yeah, and
what?
And then the whole thing didn't work. It
was... Ugly.
That's from some other thing from my childhood. You know me and Mama and the Flapping Wires. It's some thing from my childhood.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. There was some
fish
that it was an octopus that swam by in some cartoon that kept saying, ugly, ugly.
The Snorks?
I don't know. How the hell do I know? Anyway. It was lowered onto the leaking wellhead with the intent of pumping the leaking oil up a pipe to the sea surface a mile above. That failed.
Yeah.
After the cofferdam was lowered onto the leak site, a slurry of methane. This is like, I don't know, it's like a Broadway musical with a slurry on top.
There.
Meets the Roadrunner. A slurry of methane crystals formed on the inside of the dome surface, making it buoyant and clogging the outtake at the dome's roof, is what happened there. All right. I'm sorry. I need to go to the oil spill stuff. I forget. Yep. Bobby Jindal is the beginning of our.
You're talking about incredibly important estuaries, fisheries, wildlife areas. It is so important to keep the oil out. So when you look at the shrimp population, the oyster population, you look at the birds that depend on these wetlands, it becomes much, much more complicated to clean up these wetlands.
I'm hoping he was on a helicopter because he actually sounds like the octopus that swims under the sea yelling. That was Bobby Jindal? Okay.
Yes.
It's like when you do that. You know. Was he just doing that? Was he just pounding his chest? He wasn't actually in a helicopter?
Like your Catherine Hepburn helicopter reporter.
Yes.
Yes.
Catherine Hepburn.
No, he was in a helicopter flying.
I know this is a serious
island.
Thing. It just has cartoonish aspects to it. Well-known exorcist Bobby Jindal.
Bottom line, what we have told BP and the Coast Guard, they got three obligations. Put these guys to work so they can pay their bills. Secondly, stop the leak, clean up the oil. But third, make sure the fisheries are restored so that they can continue to earn a living down here. This is America's wetlands. This is one of the most productive fisheries in the entire country.
I'm having a hard time taking him seriously. He seems like he has a great big chip on his shoulder.
And seriously, is that just one of those politician things, like just to seem like he's the action governor? Did he have to do the interview in the helicopter? Probably not.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. But just to make it seem like he's on it. He's actually in the helicopter doing the.
You know what? Bobby Jindal has been on it. I've actually been really kind of.
He should know how to exorcise the demon from the well.
He's still upset that Obama told him that Jesus hasn't fixed the oil spill yet.
Uh-huh. The bottom line is we're going to get it done. We'll do whatever it takes to protect our coast, and then whatever oil makes it through, we're going to work at it for as long as it takes to clean it up.
You listen to me, mister. You're my exorcist in shining armor. I want you to get back in that chopper. Right.
Yeah, this is like a Schwarzenegger action film. It's like, get back in the chopper. It's like... It's so many. It's a little bit Roadrunner. It's a little bit country. It's a little bit rock and roll.
It's quite serious, too.
All right, and quite serious as well.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for bringing us back to seriousness. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more seriousness on the oil spill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Down where it's wet and take it from me. Up on the shore they work all day. Out in the sun they slave away. While we devoting good and you floating under the sea.
Who am I thinking of?
What?
Diddly Widdly? Who?
Squiddly Diddly.
Who?
Squiddly, no, Squiddly Diddly?
I think so.
This is The Little Mermaid. This is music from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, there was some cartoon I watched as a child that was an octopus that used to swim by and say, ugly, ugly.
Someone said it may have come from Jabberjaw, too.
All right, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800, boy, oh boy, my mental decline, ugly.
Yeah, real ugly.
Ugly. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to help Mama. I mean, to join the party. Let's go to Dan in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Hello, kids. It's the official storm-chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes. Hi, Dan.
Mr. Limbaugh is actually wrong. He said that one of the places where you won't need to show ID is at the ballot box. Every time I've ever voted, along with your registration card, they ask for your driver's license.
Mm-hmm. Where do you vote? In Chicago. One of the many times you vote in Chicago? Get it. That's a joke about voting.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it depends, doesn't it, Chris?
Depends on the jurisdiction. Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Let's go to Alan in Indiana on the BP oil spill. Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, Alan.
You know what I think the left wing and the right wing should do on the radio talk shows? Fly away. I think we need to start back in what's going on down there and not making fun of it. Rush makes fun of it. Hannity makes fun of it. Of the cleanup. You've got to go and back BP a little bit. So that's my opinion. So anyway, have a good day.
Back BP?
We're making fun of it.
Why do I need to back BP?
Why shouldn't you? They're trying to clean it up.
Yeah, but they caused the problem.
They
didn't have a plan for cleaning it up.
And you're right. I agree with you there. But now that we're in the mess, let's try to back it up and let's try to do what's right down there. But everybody hollering about it is not going to help it. I'm telling you.
Well, Alan, everybody hollering about it is how you get regulation in the future to prevent things like this.
I see.
They didn't spend the basic money they needed to have the safety precautions in place.
You're right.
Okay.
But who did they work with this year? MCS on it. And they still okayed the well. So, you know, I'm just going by what I'm reading on both sides of the fence.
Right. Well, Alan, I think what we're going to find, it was gross negligence on the part of BP and Halliburton that caused this.
But if that's the case, let's do what we can do to clean up the mess down there. Help the agencies down
there. What do you mean? What am I supposed to do to help exactly?
Maybe you can do it on the air. Maybe there's people we can help down there.
Do what on the air?
We're doing the best we can. We're coming up with solutions for how to fill the hole. That's about the best we can do. What did we just this morning, Chris? A giant tampon? Now listen, our listeners are trying to help. Rude Pundit suggested a giant whale. Like that's any better than the movable hole in the side of the mountain that they tried?
They've already.
And what's the latest thing? The junk packing? The thing that sounds dirty?
Junk packing, yes. They've decided that they're going to try and stuff old tires and golf balls in the hole. And we already suggested shoving garbage in there.
What the hell is talk radio? What, is he suggesting that my great impression is not helping? What else do I have to offer? What else do I have to give? I'm no better a junk scientist than George Reckers, for God's sakes. I can only do what I can do.
Now, if you could only tell where that ugly came from.
Ugly. Most people, they're just impressed I can do that with my voice, I think. That, of course, my Catherine Hepburn in the traffic copter, everybody.
Yeah, but you're beating your chest for that.
Ow. At any rate, what else is the point of talk radio for it to hollering? What do you mean we're making fun? Yes, we're making fun, because the whole thing is a comedy of errors, and it's But, you know, but there is a serious part of it that they do have to, they have got to regulate these companies. They've got, you know, there has got to be something they're responsible for besides profit. I mean, that's, have you ever noticed the other thing, by the way, is no one even talks about the 11 guys killed. Do you know, by the way, one of the BP officials is out there at the time talking about how safe the, he was doing a little photo op about how safe the rig is.
Oh, my God.
He's fine, by the way.
Okay.
But he was out there trying to, you know, talk about how, and, you know, 11 families have lost whatever, right? A husband, father, and nobody's even mentioning that part of it.
Right.
Okay. I think the important thing is someone knows what I'm talking about with the octopus. Hello, Bob in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, this is Trucker Bob.
Yeah!
And, I know what you're talking about with the ugly. That came from an old Popeye cartoon where the sea hag fell in the ocean and she was sinking to the bottom and an octopus swam by and called her ugly.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. I get a truck horn and the right answer. A Popeye cartoon or something, we think. Tom in California. Hello, Tom.
Well, he had half of it right. It is a Popeye cartoon, but it was Bluto who was defeated by Popeye and sent to the bottom of the sea. And Bluto, being the ugly brute that he was, got the response from the octopus, ugly, ugly.
Wow.
Okay, Tom. See, this is what the show has become. And by the way, I think we've stumbled down this hole before.
I don't remember
in some
this
other
hole.
Sea story, I somehow thought of the octopus that swam by and said ugly.
I don't remember this hole. I remember other holes, but I don't remember an ugly octopus
you don't
hole.
You don't remember the swimming octopus hole that Mama stumbled down and the listeners had to help me out?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Just saying. Abby in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
So that last caller, Alan.
Yes.
I'm sensing the new right-wing argument, which is already driving me nuts. It echoes exactly. Remember what they used to say about Iraq? Oh, it doesn't matter how we got into the war. Let's just look forward.
Yes, let's just all pull together
now.
And yes.
We're there
yes.
now, so, you know.
Yeah.
Oy.
Remember that? Yes, the whole, you know, the whole don't look back.
Right.
Don't, it's just like you were drunk and you ran over a pack of Cub Scouts. People are like, do not look in the rearview mirror. That's all in the past now.
Crimes.
Just go move forward.
Crimes only happen in the past. They
yes.
don't happen in the future.
Yes.
You have to look at the past.
Somebody, like somebody said, World War II's over. Are we stop blaming Hitler? No.
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 God.
Yeah, that's true. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We were all just called stragglers.
Right.
If we even for a moment said, you know, it seems that this war was unnecessary, immoral, and illegal, technically speaking, in that it was based on a pack of lies and we killed a lot of people unnecessarily, including thousands of Americans. No?
No.
Not important now? No, let's just all pull together and move forward. Let's just get out of Iraq. You know, we can do two things at once, Chris.
Yes, we can.
You can get out of Iraq and prosecute the Bush administration as war criminals at the Hague. I'm just saying you could, technically. All right. In the wake of the oil disaster, 55% of Floridians now oppose offshore oil drilling, a complete reversal from polling conducted last year. 35% support offshore drilling, 55% majority now opposed. Recent Rasmussen polling, that's the right-wing Thule polling.
Absolutely.
Found that support for oil drilling among the national public has fallen dramatically since the oil spill. That's on the national level as well. Good. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we have Katrina VandenHeuvel of The Nation coming up. Celebrity stack, the latest jobs numbers, and what all that means as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris would like me to mention that the Dow is going ape dump currently. It's up that's a fancy financial term, up 400 points, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I heard Christine Romans use that term yesterday. So
Do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie, StephanieMiller.com, that website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. However, Jim Ward, out today. He had an audition. And so look into the breach. On a Monday yet comes the magical John Fugel saying, who is normally only here on Fridays, but he's... Jindal would say from his helicopter.
Yeah.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
What it was, what it is, what it will be, blood. Good morning. How you doing?
Listen, I'm excited. I ovulated over yet the third woman that it looks like will serve on the Supreme Court.
Oh, don't even tell me about it. Now we got to deal with the Supreme Court bragging that it had three women at the same time. Do you know how tired I am of this? You know, it's so macho. It's like, oh, dude, man, a Latina and
listen,
two Jewish chicks. All at the
you
same
need
time.
Some solidarity against Clarence Thomas. There needs to be someone to flick off the pubic hair off your Coke and say, stop it, you pig.
That's why I was so glad when Sotomayor joined. You know, now Clarence Thomas comes up and says, you smell nice. And they can just be like, hey, I cut you, bitch. So I'm excited.
And John Fugel saying, I don't believe anyone on the Supreme Court has actually said, I'll cut you, bitch. But
well,
all right. All right.
The irony is it took us 200 years to get three female Supremes. Diana Ross is way ahead of the court.
Wait a minute. I think John Fugel saying is prepared for this unprepared impromptu performance.
Oh. Elena Kagan, what a shock.
Yeah, I guess the thing is it really doesn't matter who he nominates. I think they already have a script ready for what they're going to say, right?
Indeed they do, and it's kind of funny because this is for the second year in a row, Obama's nominated someone who is much more conservative than the justice they're replacing. So, again, right. 2 years in a row, he's making the court move to the right, and the right is furious. Filthy liberal.
Yes, exactly. So, and the other big news, obviously, this weekend is the latest episode of The Roadrunner. The giant box did not work, the dome box thing in the oil spill.
What a shock. I know. Well, that's okay, because they do have a backup plan. They're now going to ask Kotex to fix it.
Yes, we said that earlier. I think that would not work, John. I think it would absorb all the water and then but you are thinking outside the box. So that's, that's the important thing.
All?
We're thinkers. We're thinkers and we're problem solvers here on the Stephanie.
Yes, it's good to know that BP doesn't stand for backup plan.
No. It does. In fact, Patty and Fort Lauderdale, right, Steph? I think they need to fill the hole with the dollars they made when they saved money with no contingency plans in place. Thank you, Patty. Yes.
Very nice. Well, actually, the backup plan is now they're going to try and get it to leave the Gulf by offering it a job on the Wall Street Journal's editorial staff. So they're hoping it'll travel north.
The important thing is Mark in Albuquerque knows what I mean when I'm talking about the octopus that swims by going, ugly, ugly. Yes, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
I found the link on YouTube, and I actually just sent it to you by email, but it's called Popeye the Ugly Duckling, and
okay.
It was from...
So we have determined that it is for sure Popeye.
It is. I actually have the sound clip right here. Wait a minute.
That's weird. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Wow.
That is,
of all the people that listen to our show that have entirely too much free time, Mark wins the prize today. Mark not only knew what I was talking about, he had a sound clip
he came
of the
with
octopus.
Props.
Exactly. John Fugelsang, I'm sorry I hung up on you by mistake.
Yeah, you know, I really don't appreciate this. I'm going to Haiti tomorrow. I'm sitting here trying to enjoy my malaria medication, and you're just hanging up on me.
Do you have to take medication for malaria?
Oh, I had to get so many shots.
Uh-oh. I screwed it up again. I'm sorry. I'm
what?
Sorry. Go ahead, John. I'm screwing up my phone system. Go ahead. You had
to
take so many shots.
Oh yeah, I had to get so many shots, and yeah, I had to get typhoid and diphtheria. I mean, tetanus and Hep A and B, and you know,
wow.
I'm full of shots. Yeah, I feel like living in on a Friday, but it's gonna be fun. We're going down and performing for the U.S. troops that are doing the humanitarian relief mission in Haiti this week, and it's really really an honor. These guys make me proud to be a human, and much less proud to be an American. So. It's
yeah.
very exciting.
How long are you going down for?
Just for 2 days. Flying down tomorrow morning and coming back on Thursday night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang, let's do some celebrity stacks since you're so glitzy, in my opinion.
That's right.
Tiger Woods had to pull out. I know, just fill in your own joke here. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Players Did you see this, Chris? The Players' Championship and another stunning twist. He withdrew with neck pain.
Yep.
I know. Go ahead. Fill in your own joke there. I don't know what he was looking at. Hey, nice rack. Ow. He fears he might have a bulging disc. I said disc.
Mm-hmm.
He says he did not know what caused the injury. I'm going to say banging cocktail hostesses. No.
Well, at least if it's a neck injury, it means he's being a bit more, you know, considerate to his lovers.
He, it could be, you know what they're saying, it could be from the, you know, that SUV incident.
Yep.
With the, yeah. The, right. And so he has a neck.
When a woman mauled a tiger.
Yes, exactly. All right. You know what? Everyone just go ahead and fill in their own jokes with that. The superficial reporting, Lindsay Lohan needs a drinking spotter now.
What?
I need that. Yeah. I need a spotter.
You do.
She popped into Las Palmas in Los Angeles for a birthday party. She had a 6-foot, 300-pound bouncer in a T-shirt that read Big Monster wherever she, Lindsay went, he went. Mom Dina Lohan was also at the party of the superficial writing. It says something about Dina that even Lindsay Lohan recognizes a responsible adult better tag along when they're out together. Her mom, not so much.
When I think responsible adult, I think Dina Lohan.
The superficial writing, the same Lindsay Lohan who on her own throws bottles of vodka at Samantha Runson whenever she's not falling into the shrubbery in front of the police.
But her mom gets a commission on every blackout.
That's right.
All right, delisted writing, Gwyneth Paltrow, on how she got her body ready for Iron Man 2. I don't know what the... is that a movie, or is she actually doing an Iron Man competition? I don't know.
No, it's a movie that came out this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I went and saw it, actually.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know
Iron writing,
Man?
At the beginning of her newsletter this week, Fish Sticks, Paltrow, they call her Fish Sticks, I don't know why, writes, traverse the globe. So you know this is going to be a new kind of pretentious. Fishy writes that so many people asked her how she got her body ready for Iron Man 2. Here's how Fishy got the sexy body of a piece of fax paper. 7 a.m., wake up, rotate the stick in your ass so it points toward the sun, drink green tea. Breakfast, eat a Think Thin bar or a shake made of almond milk, blueberries, and fancy powder. 8 a.m., look like an idiot for 90 minutes while doing this workout from the sun grind goblin known as Tracy Anderson. 9:30, clean up the mess you made after projectile cockeying everywhere from working out after drinking a blueberry shake. And that's how she did it, everybody.
Okay.
Wow. I lost my weight running away from Coldplay concerts.
She also, she has two children, you know, the Apple and the Moses.
Yep.
With the Coldplay guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's revealed the kids' mixed upbringing in London and New York had led them to develop unusual voices. I'm just going to guess they're going to grow up to be pretentious little twits as well, don't you think?
They probably both sound like Madonna.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She said Apple speaks with an English accent in England and an American accent in America, and like Kathleen Turner. And my son has a weird hybrid of a Brooklyn and a British accent. I don't know what he speaks, but it's cute. No, it's not.
She says no.
It's a thing that only a parent thinks is cute, but everyone else thinks is pretentious bull. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although I find Gwyneth Paltrow's personal life immeasurably interesting. Fascinating stuff. Because she had to make it all on her own, you know.
Yes.
John Fugel saying, the other big news, obviously, that they announced that the New York City bomb guy was working with the Pakistani Taliban. Not the elite unit, exactly, but...
But, yeah, I mean, we're just lucky that the only group in the world that are bigger knuckleheads than Democrats and Republicans are the terrorists. You know, whether it's the guy burning his scrotum off on the plane or the guy burning his foot off on the plane, or now this guy who can't even bring the keys to his own SUV and gets locked out of his own bomb, we are very, very lucky that we are up against, you know, the Mo, Larry, and Curly of organized terror.
Yeah, that's quite a screening process. We need someone that will light his own... on fire.
Exactly.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
You got to feel bad for these terrorists. Like, how they talk about terrorist recruitment. How do you recruit for a terrorist? You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Dead. Good.
Perfect. Perfect.
Hard to find these guys.
Is this a dead end job?
Yeah,
yes.
If you do it right.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. The Elena Kagan nomination. I mean, you know, the problem is, it is amazing. You were saying it doesn't matter what she actually is. They're already, I mean, she agrees with, I guess, the huge majority of the American people now that we all ought to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. But that's going to be You know, that's going to be written off as some hugely left-wing position, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, liberals like Dick Cheney have been talking about this for 20 years. You know, Cheney actually had the guts. I'll give him credit. Let's not forget, when it comes to same-sex relationship rights, Cheney is mostly to the left of Obama. And he came out, you know, sort of poo-pooing Don't Ask, Don't Tell back when he was Bush Sr.'s defense secretary in 89. You know, this is going to be – it's going to happen no matter what. It's going to be a long bit of theater meant to distract us. But the majority of the troops don't have an issue with it. Most of our allies have gay troops serving openly. Israel's ahead of us on this. The UK's ahead of us on this. You know, don't be a pansy about a few gay men serving side by side.
Did you see, by the way, I don't know if you saw the breaking news this morning, this George Wreckers, the anti-gay, you know, right-wing Focus on the Family co-founder?
Yeah, he
who was, took the rent boy
to Haiti for me.
What's that?
He recommended a guy to carry some bags to Haiti for me.
Good, good, good. That's terrific. So there's, you know, I don't know, but there's a second male escort that came out, so to speak, and said that. But this has got to be a new barometer for gay or not. He apparently just wanted light massage, but nothing gay.
Oh.
Like, not sex. He just wanted a former porn star guy to massage him naked.
Good. Yeah, just
but lightly.
Light shiatsu and, you know, straight shiatsu with a rent boy. You know, I think it's great. First off, if you're a founder of the Family Research Council and going on rentboy.com, you clearly have a lot of baggage you need help with. But it is kind of funny. Family Research Council guy hires a rent boy to call him daddy. It's just the bigger the homophobe, the more the shame. And, you know, I'm pitching my new reality show for George Wreckers called Straight Lie for the Queer Guy. So watch for that.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
John Fugelsang, can you hang on?
Absolutely.
All right. John Fugelsang joins us on Monday. Jim Ward out today, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with much more on the Jobs Report and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ugly. Ugly. Ugly.
Ugly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Got rhythm, I got music, I got
Stephanie Miller.
Who could ask for anything more?
Boy, howdy. Oh, thanks for harshing everybody's buzz by reminding us that Lena Horne died.
Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
She
23.
She was a great talent.
Oh, one of the
so
greats.
Beautiful.
Passed away at
92
over the weekend. John Fugelsang joins us on Monday. Jim Ward is out today. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning. And listen, if you guys are big fans of Lena Horne, she released a live album recorded at New York City's Supper Club back in the 90s when she was in her late 70s, and it's fantastic. I forget the exact name of it, but I have it, and you guys got to check it out. She was still making great live music in her 70s.
Yep.
Well, you know it's my favorite kind of music. You've been to visit me in my Norma Desmond apartment where I play all, you know, dead. I already played dead people music. Anyway,
yes,
Hal Sparks says he's going to hire a dog psychic to so my dogs can finally tell me that they hate that music and to stop leaving it on when I leave.
Oh,
I disagree. I think they love it.
Hal Sparks would just play heavy metal music.
Oh, exactly.
Yes, but that's foreplay for Hal.
All right. So the president's. By the way, so the Dow is going ape dump still. It's up like what 400 points or something. I thought I was reading it wrong at first.
No.
Yeah. Well, the Buddhists would say the Dow is always in control.
Well, it's because the European Union has put together a package to help Greece out, and so Greece is going to be out of its mess, and it's going to help markets worldwide.
Mm. Look at us all playing amateur economists this morning. Really?
Well, there we go. It's sort of like
I just shook my head. Did you see that on Skype? Like I really understood what you meant. I was hoping the European Union wouldn't do that. Okay.
To see a civilization paying Greece back for creating civilization.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. The president talking about the unusual market activity.
As we take these steps to increase hiring in the short and long run, we're also mindful of other economic factors that can emerge. So I want to speak to the unusual market activity that took place yesterday on Wall Street. The regulatory authorities are evaluating this closely with a concern for protecting investors and preventing this from happening again. And they will make findings of their review public along with recommendations for appropriate action.
So I guess it was more good news for America, bad news for the Republicans, John, on the jobs report. The president talking about that on Friday.
Over the course of this recession, more than 8 million jobs were lost. So there are a lot of people out there who are still experiencing real hardship. And we've got to be mindful that today's job numbers, while welcome, leave us with a lot of work to do.
Yeah, well, it'll be good news for the Republicans when unemployment goes down in their district and they can take credit for it. So let's not
exactly
forget that. The only safe jobs in terms of growth industries this country has left are medical marijuana, spray tans, and tattoo removal. So invest wisely.
But enough about Jesse James' girlfriends. Now, the latest jobs report, the main thing, it refutes the Republican claim that the stimulus only created government jobs. How many times have we played that in right-wing world, Chris?
By government jobs, they're talking about firemen and teachers. Keep that in mind, folks. It saved government jobs.
Right, right. The Bureau of Labor Statistics announced the U.S. economy added a better-than-expected 290,000 jobs last month. It also revised the job numbers for February and March upwards, putting both of those months into the black in terms of job creation. So the continued turnaround of the labor market, a strong sign the economic stimulus, of course, working just the way it should have. Today's report also refutes one of the talking points that it only preserved government jobs. Here's a little fun fact for you. And I'm sure the Republicans will be pleased to note that of the 290,000 jobs created in April, 231,000 of them were in the private sector. The private sector has actually added 523,000 new jobs in 2010. I suggested, John, on Friday, as being the problem solver that I am, that we hire some people to count the census workers. Your thoughts?
I think it's very, very brilliant, actually. I think we should just hire Tiger Woods to do all the census taking so he can apologize to every American in person. But he's a Buddha, so it'll be an empty apology.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to David in Miami. You're on with John Fiegel saying, hey, David.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to remind all your listeners that the Rush Adult gas bag, as you so aptly named him here in Florida, votes in a state where you must have a photo ID to vote. So I don't know if he votes here or not, but Obama won here significantly with everyone having to use photo ID at a state where they took 100,000 people off the roll so Bush could win. So,
Ironic. Gee, the Rush wrong on the facts. Isn't that amazing, John?
Shocking. I'm horrified. I think that Rush should just... Rush is getting married for the fourth time, by the way.
Yep.
So I heard.
He should be happy that that gay people aren't opposed to obese, bigot, addict marriage. I want to tell you something really quick. We were talking about Kagan before, but this is very interesting. Elena Kagan, this could sway the Pennsylvania Senate race for the Democratic nomination between Sestak and Arlen Specter.
Sestak, by the way, ahead this morning, I'm hearing, by 4 points.
Yeah, because a year ago, a little over a year, when Arlen Specter was still a Republican, he voted against confirming Kagan to be Solicitor General. So now he's going to get hit with a big flip-flop charge if he's trying to support the president.
And then we're going to drag out the Anita Hill footage, and there you go. Yeah, he is up.
I only hope to try out the Anita Hill footage.
After a week ago, Specter led 49-40% by Sunday. Sestak ahead 46-42% in the Pennsylvania primary. So, interesting stuff.
Well, you got to watch some of that Anita Hill footage because that's Joe Biden pre-plugs.
Yeah.
I don't mean disrespect, but the man's done more work, had so much work done. Halliburton wants a contract on his face. So,
all right.
And I love Joe Biden. I was glad he didn't congratulate Elena Kagan on a big effing deal today.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's three chicks on the Supreme Court. That is a big deal, in my opinion.
Odd.
I mean, it would have made sense if he would have said it this time. Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation, in her fancy, they redesigned TheNation.com. Mm-hmm. You have to check it out. She joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, look, let's just all agree that he's odd, huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. One of my fellow compatriots in punditocracy, is that a word? Close enough.
Not really.
And it's a good thing that Jim's not here to leer at her, because she's here for the brains, for God's sakes. Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation joins us now. Oh, my thing is malfunctioning. Okay. Katrina, are you there? Oh, dear God.
Stephanie, yeah, I'm here. I'll never forget our night on Larry King a few months ago. That was a scene.
You know what?
Two women from Fox, they were dressed for the wrong evening, I believe. We were modest. And
yes.
Up to issues.
I told the story on the air, Katrina. We were all here in New York in the studio. So, Chris, I told you this. Katrina and I show up. We're on the left, and it's, what's her name? Sippy Cup. And
S.E. Cup, yes.
Yeah, whoever. And Andrea Tentaros.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to you, right, they both had thigh-high me boots on, right? Katrina and I looked at each other. We were like, we could have done that, but we... we thought we were here to talk about issues.
Yeah, we were there to talk about issues, which, you know... if I might, it's interesting to me in these last couple weeks, President Obama has become like the media critic in chief. His speech at University of Michigan commencement address, and then again at Hampton the other day, he's very edgy about what he sees as the failures of a media to treat issues seriously. And then David Obie, a long time and a good progressive in the House, 40 years, I believe.
Yep.
When he stepped down, the conventional wisdom in the media was that he had a tough race, didn't want to fight it, but he talked really eloquently about how tough it was to deal with big issues when you have a kind of infotainmentized media system, gotcha media system.
Yep.
Anyway.
Katrina, we were just, I was just talking to Eric Bollard over at Media Matters about that today, that, you know, for instance, this whole, the oil spill Obama's Katrina, which it has to be the worst analogy in the world, that got started by the mainstream media, not even by our friends at Fox News or on right-wing radio. I think sometimes they go so far out of their way to not appear liberal that they put things forward that really have no basis in fact, don't they?
Yeah, no basis in fact, but it's also so simplistic. I mean, it's instead of trying to think through the differences and offer people a way to think about the disaster in the Gulf, they resort to these catchphrases because it's easier for them instead of having to think through. But it's been picked up, and it's this meme that's traveled around. And, you know, I thought Paul Krugman in the New York Times today got a piece of it right, because one thing that really distinguished the way this administration has kind of moved on the BP, putting aside the fact that, you know, we have a regulatory system that's captured by the interest that's supposed to regulate, and that needs to be really looked at hard, is you have people in government right now who understand government has a purpose. Whereas under Bush, you know, the hatred of government is like, hey, why did you spend all this money to run and get into government, which you want to strangle in a bathtub and you hate?
Yep. I mean, Katrina, kind of interesting, right? They've been screaming for however long Obama's been in about they want smaller government, and then BP oils. But where's the government? Where was the government? It's like,
exactly.
You know.
David Vitters, you know, I mean, he's seen the light on a number of issues in these last couple of years. But, boy, here's a guy who's hated government a long time, and no part of stimulus, no part of this to help citizens of his state. But, yes, suddenly there was an interest in what government could do for them.
So, obviously, this latest episode of The Roadrunner, big dome or whatever didn't work over the weekend. I mean, it really is, isn't it just a stunning example of how we need more regulation, whether it's the mining industry or oil drilling? Because it's just, they literally obviously have spent no money or put no forethought into what to do when something like this happens.
Yeah, no, the need for a rebirth of tough, truly enforced regulation is key. But I think it's also a wake-up call in a different way, Stephanie. It's a wake-up call that we need to think really hard about, efficiency, about renewable energy, about subsidies, government subsidies, which go to subsidize big oil and their cronies, and redirecting that. But the rolling over of the minerals management system for BP and other oil companies has led to to key parts of this disaster. I think moving forward, just in the short term, you probably talked about it on the program, you know, you got to raise the liability cap. I mean, it's $75 million is chump change for BP. There's talk of $10 billion. And I think you need, you know, serious, not only congressional investigations into this, the regulatory system across the board, but, you know, ongoing oversight and reconstruction of a regulatory system that, you know, again, was paid little attention to during the Bush years. And it's also after 30 years of deregulation. It's not just Bush, though they did a good job in really taking down what was left of the scaffolding of regulation.
Well, putting the people in charge of the industry that were the lobbyists for that industry.
Exactly.
That kind of oversight,
I mean, Cheney's little powwow in 2001 when he had in all those execs from the big oil companies. You know, we still don't know the full story there, but what kind of favors were they given? I mean, these were people in the pocket of big oil. And the problem, you know, is that you still have so much money pouring into our political system. I keep thinking, you know, of the disaster in the Gulf to the wildlife and the water. And you think of our political system and how it's polluted every day with green of a different kind, the green money. And until there's some real clampdown on that, ordinary people's voices and ordinary people's lives take second stage to these
Katrina,
big interests.
Let's talk. I'm so glad we have you on this morning because you have such a great take. I mean, there's so much news breaking left and right here. We'll get to the new redesign of the website. But Elena Kagan, obviously, this morning.
Yeah.
What are we going to be up against the right on this one?
I think what we need to demand is a fair hearing. You got all kinds of myths going on, as you know. I mean, you know, John Cornyn, senator from Texas who hasn't seen ordinary people in about so many years, is saying she doesn't represent ordinary people or doesn't know ordinary people. You're going to hear she's a radical. You're going to hear that, you know, that empathy standard rather than adherence to law and choosing Kagan. Well, you know what? This court has moved so far right, and put, you know, right often is a word that doesn't mean much, but it is so much on the side of the corporate power in this country, especially after that Citizens United decision opening the sluice gates to corporate money and declaring corporations people, that I think Elena Kagan is a cautious choice, but I think a fair choice, and I think she, you know, needs to be asked some tough questions about executive power, but the right needs to be pushed back because they're kind of, you know, they're reducing themselves to silliness when they raise some of these issues about how she's, her senior thesis at college shows she's a socialist.
You obviously have your pulse, your finger on the pulse of the left. Do you think that, because I have heard that, you know, you're not the first person I've heard that from, that she's going to move the court too far to the right. Do you think he's going to get...
I think we know very little about Elena Kagan, partly because, you know, she has spent much of her life working with people committed to the vulnerable, the disadvantaged. She was a clerk for Thurgood Marshall, one of the great justices of our Supreme Court, and considered him her model. But what we don't know, partly because she doesn't have a paper trail, and I would suspect largely out of ambition that one day she'd be on the Supreme Court, is we need to have a fair hearing if these Republicans will step back and stop their kabuki theater silly dancing and humping.
Right.
We need
right.
to ask her some tough questions. She has been fairly clear. Again, she was Solicitor General when she sided with Lindsey Graham on the issue of executive power in terms of detention. On the other hand, she's also signed a letter with people like Harold Coe, who's in the State Department, very progressive human rights lawyer, raising issues about expanding executive power and raising issues about the Bush-Cheney White House and what they were doing in terms of detention.
And an interesting moment in time, with the other breaking news over the weekend about the New York City bomber, obviously, working with the Pakistan Taliban, and Eric Holder even talking about maybe having to change Miranda going through Congress. What is your take on all that?
You know, my take is I hate to see concessions made to the lunatic right. My view of... I consider Lieberman part of the lunatic right in many ways. Lieberman, a man whose conscience is like a little wind horn at the top of a windy building. But I do think that the public safety exception to Miranda is sufficient, and I do think we do best to understand our strength is rooted in liberty and rule of law, and that we have the tools needed. I think that the court will eventually need the Supreme Court, which Elena Kagan looks like she'll be sitting on come the fall, will need to rule on any gutting of Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about...
Well, here's what I don't understand, Katrina. How come when we've had one of the most successful captures in 53 hours, and he sung like a bird after Miranda. Why are we suddenly saying, oh, well, that didn't work very well? I mean,
part of it is, I think, when people are fearful and feel vulnerable, you can go in two directions. You can go in a direction of saying, we're going to stay true to our values because we have enough, we have tools in the toolbox to keep us safe, and this showed we do. Or you can resort to demagoguery and fear-mongering, and that, I fear, over time in our country's history has often worked in the short term. The danger is it erodes the very foundation of what we claim we are fighting for. And we do have the tools, Stephanie. You put it right. I mean, we have what we need. And I think instead of, you know, chipping away at an already pretty fragile constitution, we do wise to say, hey, it's kept us secure, and let's stay strong. Kagan, I think, would be interesting on that. And I'm not sure people who, and here I speak out a little against the left, I think that, you know, this notion that she will move the court to the right has been overstated. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing is possibly muting of her progressive ideals in the service of ambition, which is something which is all American.
I do it every day. I am not afraid of change, however, and this is why I'm not afraid of the fancy new redesign of TheNation.com, which is stunning.
Bless you, Stephanie. Bless you. Listen, we're not afraid. Yeah, we're not afraid of change. I mean, you're on a certain platform. We're now on the radio platform. And, you know, one thing we're doing here is embracing new platforms and new technologies. I hope your listeners will come and check out TheNation.com. You know, we have an app. We're on Kindle and iPad. And
one thing on Kindle, aren't you?
I think we're number 30 or something insane, and we won the we won the Shorty Award for best political tweeting. And your listeners may go, well, so what? But this is a magazine of 145 years old, and I think the key is we want to keep investing in the investigative reporting and the reporting we do, but get it out to people.
Yeah.
Who can move
my listeners would not say so what. If they spoke out against Katrina Vandenhul, they know I would smack them silly. Check out TheNation.com. They do the best.
On your side.
They do the best reporting out there, and it's always such a thrill to be on with you. And I will. We will compare notes and get the appropriate me boots the next time we have a TV appearance together.
I'm ready.
All right. Listen, we can bring that stuff if we need to.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. There she goes. Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. Oh, my favorite moment from that Larry King. I think Sippy Cup said something snippy to her.
Mm-hmm.
And Katrina goes, I'm not a partisan. I'm an analyst.
Yeah. What's that?
She's really not. They just really do the best investigative stuff and whatever on The Nation. She's just, you know, she's 10 kinds of crazy smart.
Yeah, she is. That the episode where Sippy Cup was wearing that naughty schoolgirl outfit?
She always wears that. Oh. 47 minutes after the hour. Oh, Lord. All right. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
When you call me, call me out.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Don't forget Tuesday, Charlie Pierce tomorrow, our Tuesday pal from the Boston Globe.
And also Richard Wolff.
That's right.
And Ian Millhiser from the Center for American Progress on the Elena Kagan pick.
He's going to
be smart,
out.
Too. I know, right?
Anthony in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Anthony.
Regarding this oil that's gushing into the Gulf, these old men at BP have decided to put a box that on top of this that has turned out to be frigid, and now they're discussing warming the box, perhaps putting a hot box on top of this shooting gusher. Mm-hmm. As a gay man, I wish they would have hired me as an advisor. I could have told them to put a warm box on it.
Oh, my God.
All right. I think, you know what, I think that's...
That had more double entendres than
that probably is
that Betty White muffin bit from Saturday Night Live.
It's true, though. They did need a hotter box to put on the gusher. It's true. They should have consulted George Records.
Did you see that Betty White muffin bit from Saturday Night Live?
I did not. I heard she was hilarious.
She was hysterical. She said her muffin hasn't had a cherry in it since 1939. She was playing a baker of muffins, you know.
Did it top Sweaty Balls or?
It was the same. It was the NPR girls. They came back to do that bit with Betty White, and it was hysterical.
Sandy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you, dear. Listen, you and Katrina took the wind out of my sails. But listen, ditto on everything you all said. And hello to the mooks. I love you all.
Thank you.
I'm sick of people saying that BP is, they're cheap, okay? And you brought up a good article last week, Steph. If you go to gregpalace.com, he talks about it in the article that you were talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put my old lady glasses on here. To contain a spill, the main thing you need is a lot of rubber, long skirts. It's called a boom.
Yeah, I read that. That they could have prevented this. It just takes money. It takes them having somebody on call 24/7, like firemen, so that they could have addressed it right away.
Exactly. They're deadly cheap.
By the way, are you calling from an aviary or a...
I've got one bird. His name is Mick, and he's a little cockatiel, and he's a pain in my butt. But he's
Okay. Thank you. Because when you said your old lady glasses, it sounded actually like you were calling from the Tweety Bird cartoon. But our best to Nick.
Listen, you know what? I saw Hal last night.
Hal Sparks?
Yes, I did. And he is just, I just wanted to gobble him up. He's just so damn cute.
Well, he is, isn't he? Even with a cockatiel at home, you still want to eat him up, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, I understand. Yes, I do. All right, whatever.
He's adorable.
So tired of women using me to get to Hal Sparks.
Well, you're the conduit. You're the easy conduit.
All right. So I was mentioning the jobs report earlier. We added 290,000 jobs last month. This would seem good, right, Chris, at first glance?
Sure.
Okay. And then they also revised, I think, February and March upwards, as I said. The president, of course, said that was encouraging news. It was so positive, even Eric Cantor had to admit in a statement it was undeniably good news, but apparently his colleagues in the House did not seem to get the memo. Right-wing tool Mike Pence. He's that guy I did the debate with, mm-hmm. with Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Pardon me?
Roger Hedgecock. You keep getting that wrong.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Mike Pence released a statement declaring these are difficult times for America's families, and today's unemployment report delivers even more bad news. What?
What?
Huh?
What? How can
his office
jobs
called the
news?
Jobs report disappointing news? Oh, because they're saying the unemployment rate ticked up a little bit, which I think we explained. I believe we had economist extraordinaire Christian Weller on to explain it.
Yes,
the increased rate driven largely by a surge in the labor force, and such a rise in the labor force often occurs in recoveries as workers who had dropped out of the labor force are drawn back in by improved employment opportunities. Listen, as someone who's been out of work for 2 years at the stretch, I know what that's like. It's when you finally stop losing the will to live, you know. You stop drinking before noon, and you actually start looking again, you know.
Well, yeah, and by that time, you started to look like the ladies in Grey Gardens.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
As Jim said, I didn't just hit a rough patch in the road. I was the road. I was,
getting run over by many a truck.
Okay. So here's, you know, this Arizona law. Have you heard conservatives saying that... Latinos are for it? Even Latinos are for it?
Says
no, not really.
Yeah, isn't the popular thing to say that most Hispanics in Arizona are for this law?
Yeah, and yet when we play a bite from Fox, we're always like, what? Did they pull that poll out of their ass? What? And the point is, yes. Marco.
Rubio.
Mm-hmm. And J.D. Hayworth and Bill O'Reilly, among others, putting that out there. The largest Spanish language newspaper, La Opinión, reported 70% of Arizona Latinos strongly oppose the bill. 11% somewhat oppose it. Only 12% of Arizona's Latinos strongly support the law. So
that makes the right-wing liars.
Yes. Yes. Was my point. You're a lying sack of crap. All right. Tomorrow we will talk to Charlie Pierce and others about the teabagging and how that's going. Bob Bennett got teabagged in Utah, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. Yeah, and there's no crying. There's no crying in Congress, but he was crying. He's a, you know, he's conservative Republican, but not conservative enough, I guess.
No.
Exactly. So we will talk about the power of teabagging. And maybe there will be a third rent boy from George Wreckers by tomorrow. We'll see.
One can only hope.
Join us for Charlie Pierce, Richard Wolff, and Ian Millhauser to talk about the Elena Kagan pick. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.